Okay, back to the dinim of, or customs of Bris Milah. So it says that there's a mitzvah, it's called a Sudas mitzvah, to have a Suda at the Bris Milah. Ideally, in Halach, it says you should have meat, because it's really a Sudas mitzvah. But bottom line is, practically speaking, people, when they make a Bris in the morning, they don't serve meat because it's not the time of eating meat. So they serve fish or whatever. But in halacha, but very few people do that today, mamish, to serve meat when it's early in the morning, the bris. They don't do it. But it should be not. It should be actually a whole su'udah with washing and, you know, people making ametzi and so on and so forth.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because good things, you have a su'udah. Like you have a yom tov, a su'udah, Shabbos, you have a meal. Wedding, you have a meal. When there's mitzvahs, you know, it's joyous. The Gemara tells a story that David HaMelech was in the mikvah and he was without clothes on. So he realized he was very depressed because he didn't have any mitzvahs. No tzitzis, no tefillin. He didn't have anything on him. He felt naked of mitzvahs. And then he realized that he has bris milah. He was circumcised, even though David HaMelech was born circumcised, but he had a toughest dan bris. So he had what it was called, the bris milah. And therefore, the pasuk that we say in fact before the shofar blowing, sas anechi al imrasecha, sas means I have sas v'semech, I rejoice on the word that you said, kameitzei shalol rav, like one who found a great treasure. And the Gemara says, that pasuk David HaMelech said when he realized that he had a bris milah, so he wasn't naked for mitzvahs. By the way, from there, it's an interesting thing. The Rogan Shavar proves in that Gemara that bris milah is not something you do once and it's done. It's what's called pu'ula nimsheches. It's a continuous thing. In other words, it's like you're always being circumcised. It's not you did it when you're 8 days old and finished. He says that because if David HaMelech, what's the proof? Very simple. David HaMelech put tefillin on that day. So why was he feel naked of mitzvahs? He still did a mitzvah that day. And bris milah, he did the way he did when he was 8 days old. So like, what is he rejoicing in? Why is bris milah different than tefillin? He put on tefillin that morning. So yeah, you know, why was it? From there you see the Rogan Shavar says, and the Rebbe holds like that too, that it's a pulan imshachas, means it's continuous. It's not something that happened once and it's over. It's a continuous thing that the person has a bris milah. And therefore, David HaMelech was rejoicing. So therefore, because it's a rejoicing time, you have a bris milah.
But is it being in the mikvah a mitzvah?
Not for a man.
Probably was before Shabbat.
Can someone take the food from the Suda and go to his office, wash, read the food?
Yeah, it's part of the Suda's mitzvah. Yeah, people do that. In fact, people do that. They take if they're in a rush, they'll take the bagel, whatever, and they'll eat it in their office. Now, it's also, but there's a very, because of this, it's a very interesting thing.
What about
it's,
the
huh?
What about the food from the museum? Someone made a museum here last week.
No.
And they were asking if they could take the cookie to go instead of eating it here. If you eat it with the guy that made the museum, or you could just take it?
No, you're taking it from that suda there. It's not a Sudas mitzvah, by the way, so much. It doesn't have a dinner of a Sudas mitzvah. But there's... maybe forget what I wanted to say. No. Oh, so therefore, you're not allowed to invite somebody to a bris. It says in Halacha that if you invite somebody to a bris, they have an obligation to go. Because otherwise, you're turning down a Sudas mitzvah. So what the custom is, you inform people. You don't say, I'm inviting you to the bris. You say, the bris of my son is on this and this day and this and this place. So then you don't have an obligation to go. Even that the world is makel, that even if they're invited, they don't go anyway. I mean, they still don't go. Another interesting thing is, there's something called the night... Okay, let's start earlier. The Friday night after the baby is born is what's called, you have a shalom zachar. Why do you have a shalom zachar? So one of the reasons for Shalom Zachar is because a child learns the whole Torah within the mother, the womb of the mother, and then he forgets it. So to comfort him over the fact that he forgot all the Torah that he learned, so you make this thing Friday night. So the whole question, Aloha, is that called a Sudas Mitzvah? Is it not a Sudas Mitzvah? It's a whole discussion in Aloha. But over there, the custom is you don't wash, you just have, you know, cake or beer and bulb, whatever, different things you have. In addition to that, the night before Bris, you have what's called Wachtnacht. Wacht is Yiddish. Wachtnacht means you're up a whole night. Now it says that unless it's Shabbos, if the Bris is Shabbos, you don't need to do Wachtnacht because Shabbos itself is a protection. But let's say Bris is on Tuesday. So Monday night, ideally, the father is supposed to be up a whole night learning. In addition to that, there's a custom you bring Jewish children the night before the Bris to the baby. They say Shema, they say the 12 Psukim, they say Amal Chagoy, all the different customs of what they say. Why? And then you give the kids some nash, some treats, and so on and so forth. Why is that? Why is there a concept called Wachtnacht? So it's brought down in Sfarim that because Bris is such a holy thing, the evil forces will do everything possible that it shouldn't happen. They'll do everything possible it shouldn't happen. So as a protection for the baby, when the father's up a whole night, in fact, there's a custom, you say parts of Zohar, you say a whole thing over there that you say the night of a Bris Milah, and the fact that the kids come to read the Shema, so that actually protects that everything should go well. Friday, if the Bris is Shabbos, you don't need to, because again, the Shabbos itself protects the person. So I'm coming to that point. I'll answer your question also. So what happens if somebody didn't do a Bris that day? They weren't able to do a Bris that day. So you could do it the night after. Or other Paschim, right? You can even do it a few days later. It's still called the Sud of a Bris. Now, if a Bris is done on a fast day, then obviously you can't have a meal that day. So you make the Bris, and then at the end of the fast, when the fast is over, the same thing with Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av. We had in this show years ago, a Bris and Yom Kippur, a Bris and Tisha B'Av. We had fast days, we had all that that stuff. But the Sud is done after the fast. You go home and have the meal.
Why can't we have it at night?
Because the Torah said Bayom. It's Exeris HaKosah. The Torah said Bayom Hashmini on the eighth day. No. I mean, maybe that's but the bottom line is, the Gemara says Exeris HaKosah, Bris has to be before night. And because it has to be before night, it has to be before sundown. Because if you do a Bris at night, it's not kosher. So let's say somebody's Bris is supposed to be Tuesday, and let's say sundown is 5 o'clock, and whatever, the mother didn't show up, the baby didn't show up, and now it's 6 o'clock Tuesday night. So what do? You can't make the Bris at night. It's not kosher. So then you have no choice. You have to push it off to Wednesday and do the Bris Wednesday. But every day that you could do a Bris and you don't do a Bris, you're transgressing a positive commandment of the Torah. The Torah says you have to do a Bris on the eighth day. Unless if they're not well, it's a whole different story.
Is there a list of in which event we have to have a Suda?
What?
Is there a
list of which events you have to have a Suda? Which events? Yeah. No. Pidyon HaBen, as we're going to learn the next day, Pidyon HaBen, redeeming the firstborn.
Weddings.
Those are obligatory su'udas, by the way. Now, if somebody did a Bris Milah without a meal, they still did the Bris. I mean, it's not, doesn't mean the Bris is not kosher.
Then maybe just a little bit of bread and it doesn't have to be
a... Yeah. Bris. There are a lot of times people want to get married, they don't want a big thing. You should know a big thing by a lot of shluchim is people want to get married, they don't want a minyan. They just want chos and the kala and the parents and the rabbi, that's it. You're not allowed to do a wedding. Huh? No, you need, but say kosher well. But I'm saying you need a minyan to do a wedding. It's a gemara. It's a little bit out from a pasuk by Boaz and Rus. They had a minyan. You learn out. You can't make a chuppah less than a minyan. I mean, there are certain poskim that say in crazy, but generally speaking, you must have a minyan.
By Bris not.
By Pinyon HaBen not. I mean, it's preferred, obviously. It's now, another interesting difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. And that is, Sfardim, based on the Pesach of the Rambam, they make a Shechyonu at the time of the Bris. They make a Shechyonu, why? Because it's a mitzvah that comes from time to time. You don't do it every day. But that's what the Rambam holds. And that's what the Beis Yosef writes in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that at the Bris, the father makes a Shechyonu. The Ramah writes, we don't make a Shechyonu, and that's the Ashkenazi custom. Why? Because Tzar di Yanuka. The baby has pain. The baby has pain, and something that has pain, you don't make a Shechyonu. In fact, it says the same thing in Hilchos Shechita, when the Sheikhet shechs the first time. He doesn't make a Shechyonu when he does Shechita. L'chay, it's a mitzvah. He didn't do it before, once a year, whatever. Like, why doesn't he make a Shechyonu? And Shulchan Aruch again says, because over there, there's pain to the animal. That's why you don't make a Shechyonu on shoes either. Many people make new clothing, they make a Shechyonu. But on shoes, you don't make Shechyonu. Why don't you make Shechyonu? So it says in Sfarim, the reason is because you have to get the leather, you have to kill an animal. So the animal was suffering, so there's suffering involved. You don't make a Shechyonu.
It's not
leather.
Huh?
Then they're not really shoes. Well, the meaning is you don't make on leather.
Why does the
Hordes
say Shechyonu again?
By a bris? Because it's a simcha. It's another interesting thing by a bris. There's a whole letter from the Rebbe about it, and the Paskim discussed this. Are you allowed to... to anesthesia, local anesthesia on the bris area, that the kid shouldn't feel the pain? You don't find Melim do that, by the way. Why not? Because Halacha says the pain is part of the mitzvah. So if you're doing an older person like the Russians, you know, and all that, ideally, you know, some of them, but they really mean it. They say they want any anesthesia. They want to feel the pain. But it's unbearable pain. So then you're allowed to do anesthesia that they should to do the bris. If somebody did do anesthesia on the baby and they did the bris, it's still a kosher bris. But so the pain of a bris mila is different than the pain of shechita, or that's why I don't think they decided to make a shechion on shechita. I don't think so.
They could put the numbing powder after
the bris. They don't put numbing powder. They put powder to stop the bleeding. After it's done already, the pain's over. There's nothing to numb.
No, the pain leaves after that?
Yeah. The pain is only the bris.
1 second.
Yeah, that's it. But it's a chelik of the bris. So therefore, the pain is so to speak, part of the mitzvah. You can't say it's a pain, and therefore you don't do it. Okay, so that's vachnacht, and that's okay. You can do the bris, the suda a different day. Okay, now we'll leave with one last interesting shaila. We know there's a din of what's called Zriza Magdimim LeMitzvahs. Zealous people like to do a mitzvah as soon as possible. We learn now from Avraham Avinu Vayashkim, Avraham Babaker. Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning, and the Gemara says Zriza Magdimim LeMitzvah. There's another concept in Halacha that's called Reiv Am Hadras Melech. When you have a lot of people, it's more glory for the king. So when you do a mitzvah with more people, it's better. So now the shaila is like this. If I do a bris in the morning, I'm going to have less people, but it's early in the morning. If I do it in the afternoon, I'll have more people. And you can have meat, whatever, it's more expensive. Not necessary, not today. So the question is, what is better to do? Should I make a bris in the morning with less people or later in the afternoon? So the pearl, even though the halacha is Riza Magdim LeMitzvah comes first, but the Rebbe once said in Yisicha, but the meaning is that they do Reiv Am Hadras Melech too.